Do you join me right now and just stand? How majestic is our Father. Tomorrow we celebrate 1 year that we've been in the building. So let's give him a praise. Father, we just thank you, God. We stand and we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise. Father, we just want to glorify you. You've been good to us. And the best way we can honor you is to stand up, lift our hands, and give you praise. And Father, we give you praise for what you did. You gave us a suddenly, and 1 year later, you're still taking care of us. Father, I spoke to a pastor this week that has over $1 million worth of debt and doesn't know how they're going to make their next payment. God, I know your supply, as you did for us. And Lord, as we give up our worship to you, we intercede for the Abbey Church. God, that you will supply. Because no man can take credit for what you did here. And I'm believing you're going to do something supernatural for them and provide for them. Because that church needs to be there. So as we glorify you for what you've done for us, we glorify you today, believing you to supply the needs of Abbey Church. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. I want to thank everyone for being here. I really am grateful that you're here on this four-day long weekend. And a lot of you didn't used to be this way. It's now a four-day weekend, so a lot of people have taken off and gone. It's also a weekend that a lot of people choose to get married. I think there was like 2,000 marriages yesterday. It's all different now, and we're just grateful that you're here today. Ladies, I want to remind you of the women's event this coming Friday. If you haven't registered for that, you need to do that. You say, oh, they know I'm coming. No, they don't know you're coming, and if you haven't registered, and you need to register for it. You need to RSVP because they need to get a head count on the food. Right, Adrian? Yes, Adrian needs to know how much food to provide. So those of you online that haven't registered yet, you need to do so. You can talk to Rochelle after the service or call her or email her if you're watching online this morning. Eva, you need to stand up. God is going to, he's going to deal and take care of that sleeping issue. If you need a physical healing, I mean you need a physical healing, you need to stand up. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to share with you because I'm going to give you a word of wisdom. God spoke to me and I sent out an email on purpose so that people, even if they were online, that they'd watch and they wouldn't just stay away from the service this morning, even though they're on vacations and traveling and had late night weddings. Listen carefully to this word of wisdom. You need to be talking up what God said to me to tell Eva, because that's for you. God is going to take care of it. You need to talk that up, and you need to quit talking up the issues. You need to quit talking up the problem. The problems are there. You know that. Well documented. Correct? We've got to start talking up what God says. And we need to be speaking down what the devil says. Don't leave here today and start talking up the issue and wreck what God just told you. Because the moment you start bringing the doubt and unbelief, what happens? You begin to build walls against the promise of God. You choose to build a wall. I'm the type that if God says he's going to do something, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to press in. And when the pain comes, I'm going to say, devil, God said, I know it's there. But today God said, you have no place today. Tomorrow you have no place tomorrow or the next day. You stand until God does what he says. God said today he's going to deal with that sleeping issue. Now we talk up what God said, not what the devil's saying in our body. Okay? Everybody with me? This is important. This is so important. So often God speaks a word to us, and then in the next 5 minutes we just shut it down with our words. That's just a fact. I'm trying to help you. We got to speak faith. We got to be fighters. Are you ready for God to do the miraculous? God said he's going to deal with it. Now we got to stand and believe what God said. You have to believe what God said. God didn't wake me up in the middle of the night for me to get up here and waste my time with what he said. God said it. I believe it. And I'm going to fight for you. Now, another instruction from the Lord. All of you who are sitting, look around and see who all's standing. Look around carefully and see who all's standing. Ask the Holy Spirit to burn their faces in your mind. Those of you who are standing, look around. Here's the thing. We all need to intercede for each other. And not walk from this place and forget what's happening right now. This is a moment God has called on this Sunday. If you're watching me online, you need to be standing up right now. And don't walk away from the service and find yourself back talking up the issues. We know what the issues are. We know what the doctors have said. We know. It's time to know for a fact in your heart that God said, I'm going to deal with this. And believe him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree, in the powerful name of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, that what God has said shall be now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we plant our feet right now to talk up the truth. My God said he's going to deal with this. No matter how I feel in the morning, no matter how I feel come Wednesday, my God said he will deal with this. And I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to believe him. And if anybody else comes to me and tries to talk up the issue, I'm going to tell them, silence. We're standing in faith here. In Jesus' name. Say it, in Jesus' name. I receive my healing. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to a cold, dark place this morning. It's so dark in this place that if you don't have a lighted torch, you're not going to see a whole lot. And in this place that we're going today, we're going to go on a journey that begins to move from what just happened right now and the comments that I made about interceding for one another, and it's going to journey us to a place of a calling that God has placed upon us that maybe we haven't taken as seriously as we should have. And it'll be in this dark place that once again an angel will arrive, and God's power of deliverance will be on display. Now I'm going to ask you to stand together one more time, but all of you to stand as we read the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you to set your devices down so you're not distracted. As we read the Word of God, and it'll be on the screen, Romans 8:34 says, "Who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty, and more than that, who was raised from the dead, and who is at the right hand of God doing what? Interceding with the Father for who? Us. Jesus is interceding right now, this moment, for the declaration that was made to you to be healed." Come on. Jesus is interceding right now. Jesus intercedes day and night. Here's our question today. Are we interceding for others? Are we giving back what's being given to us? Let's not forget the law of sowing and reaping. I have found that when I am in need physically and I go lay hands and pray on with somebody else who's in need, I find my need starts getting met. Are you with me? The law of sowing and reaping. If Jesus is interceding for us, should we not be interceding for each other? Now let me take that further. Not just your family, that's easy. For others. Maybe what your family needs is for you to spend more time interceding for others and then watch God do something miraculous in your family. Jesus is interceding for us right now. He's interceding. For some of it, He's interceding so that you don't go to sleep. You've had a late night. Now, Father, I commit this word to You today. And that it will be sealed in the hearts of the community of faith at North Elevation Church. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Now, persecution is broken out in Jerusalem. And this persecution is being driven by King Herod. And while this persecution is going on, James is killed. And Peter has been rounded up and slated for death. All around the same time as the Passover. Now, Peter is in prison awaiting his fate. And it's more of a dungeon than a prison. It's so unclean, you wouldn't want to spend the night there. It's so dark that they have torches to be seen. Peter is not in a good place. He's in a very dark place, slated to be killed. Now, let's make this note this morning. At the same time, the Bible says that Luke and the Sons of Thunder and a couple of others got together and began to pray for Peter's life to be free. No, wrong. It's not what Scripture says. Scripture says the church was praying for Peter. I'm going to say that again. The church was praying for Peter. Okay? We're going to go to a verse of Scripture in a moment to prove to you what the church was doing and look at a deeper side of what they're doing. But it says the church was praying. Not a few people. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. Now, we read those words and then we don't study them. That's why I've said from the get-go that I've been pastoring. I used to say it when I was an associate pastor, an executive pastor, when I was the outreach pastor. When I was the guy that was probably knocking on your door on Saturday. And I did a lot of that. I was studying the Word. Even before I was in ministry, I was studying. I want to know what the Scriptures are telling me. And the word here, earnestly, the Greek word means continuously, without ceasing. Doesn't say that there was a few people gathered together praying for Peter. It says that the church was what? Very earnestly praying for Peter. That means they were praying without ceasing day and night. Without ceasing. Day and night. God spoke to me in August and said that this church was to go on 21 days of prayer. And this is a prayer list that He gave me that is about interceding for others. Church, it wasn't a suggestion from God. It was a call to North Elevation Church. Let me take you back to last week. I believe with all of my heart, God said it was a strategic time for us to pray. And I believe with all of my heart that because I obeyed God, I sent the call out. Things last week in that shooting could have been way worse. I've been talking to people in the know. They said that could have been way worse. What happens if the church takes this seriously? What can change in our nation? What can change in families and marriages? What can change in the church? The church has got to wake up. The lost coming to Jesus. When the church quits taking these things as a suggestion and starts realizing God is saying, I'm calling you to this. It's not an option. I'm calling you to intercede for others. You ought to have this somewhere every day. We've got it in two or three places. Why? As a constant reminder that I am supposed to be in intercession for 21 days. Since the 1st of October, that means I need to be praying without ceasing for 21 days. Think of all the things you want changed. Come on. What would happen if you decided, I'm going to pray without ceasing? What if you just obeyed God, the call to North Elevation Church, what He might do for you tomorrow? Or next week, or next month, or next year, all of a sudden you walk up and go, oh my gosh, that's because I did that. I think I'll do some more of it. Then the statement I put in the bottom, God is calling all of us, not a few of us. He's calling the church of North Elevation Church. He's calling this community of faith. Whether He's calling any other community, it doesn't matter right now. We have the call on us. We need to press forward with the rest of this time. You do not know what might be avoided, but I am convinced that if the church doesn't jump in, there might be some things not avoided. Our prayers change stuff. And community in intercession together, like for Peter, the church prayed. Didn't name off a few names. If you'll read scripture, it'll talk about this person was there. No, it said the church was praying very earnestly. The church was praying earnestly. My first pen truth today, this prayer is stretched out. Costly. Oh, yeah, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some favorite things. But we have to make a decision. Am I going to do what God's telling us to do? Obedience is huge. This prayer is stretched out, costly, persevering, and involves more than a brief moment. Well, you know what? I've heard Pastor Rochelle pray. She can just handle it for all of us. No. Wednesday night, Colin gets a word from somebody before he arrives that tonight was going to be something special on Wednesday night, somewhere along those lines. We had a powerful season of prayer here Wednesday night. One person saw angels, saw a vision of the angels actively moving in this place. Another man said he saw the sword of the Spirit go from this place, a two-edged sword. What would happen if we'd have had twice as many people who were here Wednesday night? What might have happened? I'm just being honest. Friday night at our prayer meeting, we had a powerful night of prayer. And the man that was here other than me, he saw these altars full. He said, it's coming. God's going to fill this place up. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to be taking time out of our lives to break through the walls of the enemy who's trying to stop it. And it's going to come through intercessory prayer, joining and coming together. You say, well, I can't make that meeting. Then get on the phone and call four or five people, and it's 7 o'clock. Be praying with them. You know, there's lots of ways around this. Maybe ask four or five people to come over to your house. Maybe get on Zoom and say, I got six, Pastor. We can't be there, but I got six. We're with you. And we're going to pray through. Whoever's monitoring us on Zoom probably cut us off. You don't think they're not doing that? We have got to become the church that intercedes. We've got to become the church. We're all busy. Come on, we're all busy. We're all busy. But we can find time in our own home. Maybe gather just our family together and say, you know what, we're going to intercede for these things. We can't get here for the first Wednesday, but we're going to find a way to intercede with them. Can't get here on Friday night, just too crazy busy. That's all right. We're going to carve out some time on Saturday morning, and we're going to jump in. Is everybody with me? And here's the thing. Ralph shared with us how much time we spend during the week doing stuff. He didn't know it. He was talking about something else. But he proved to all of us men, we have time to intercede. There's time in your week to carve out, to get into some serious intercession for the things that God's called us to. I'm sitting there the whole time, I'm going, I'm so glad Ralph's bringing this up. I'm going to use that tomorrow. We have time. It's there. It's a choice. Are we going to use it to make a difference? This sort of prayer is more than an honorable mention. This is serious prayer. This kind of prayer involves investing time and energy. Holy Spirit told me one time, he was getting on to me about prayer. I said, I've just got too much to do. And he said, you need to get unbusy, brother. He said, there's a lot of stuff you're doing you don't need to be doing. And you're just telling yourself you've got to do all these things. He said, why don't you just let me deal with that and you spend time with me? We've got to start hearing the voice of the Father. Pin truth, this is prayer that does not stop until there is a solution. It's a prayer that doesn't stop until there's a solution. It doesn't give up the moment discouragement tries to come in. It says, no, I am going to persist through this discouragement. I'm going to have what God said. It's not a pen, but I just jotted this down as it came into my spirit. I was thinking and praying, and this truth came out. We need more believers today who understand the need for selfless intercessory prayer. Here's how I'm going to broach this with you this morning. If you're going to complain about how the nation is and how you want it to change, it's time you enter in to intercessory prayer. We've all got it figured out. Right? You know, if they just give you 5 minutes in charge, you'd fix all this. What about an extra 20 or 30 minutes in intercessory prayer for the nation and let God fix it? And tear down the walls. What is intercessory prayer? What is it? Well, let me tell you, what it's not part-time, here and there, or only when I have a problem. Intercessory prayer is a call to get to it when God says get to it. It's sacrificial. Intercessory prayer, it's sacrificial prayer. It's a sacrifice of prayer. It's sacrificing to pray for God's agenda and for others. If you look up all the biblical definitions of intercession, you're going to find my definition fits right in. I define it this way, prayer that focuses way less on ourselves and more on others. Wednesday night, Wally showed up, and Wally was here last night as a living testimony of what happens when godly people are in the right place. Now, Judge Hage over here, and I'm saying, Judge, I'm speaking. Are you with me? Judge Hayes over here is smart, intelligent, knows it. He's a judge's judge. I mean, he's one intelligent dude. And his wife thinks he's the most handsome person in 18 counties. Now, I'm winning brownie points if I ever have to come before him. So, listen to me. This church, more than any other church, needs to be moving sacrificially into intercessory prayer in his behalf, because Wally would not be sitting here Wednesday night and his brother and sister knowing Jesus Christ if it hadn't been for a godly man who was a judge who did the right thing with his brother and sent him here to do his community service, and he gave his life to Jesus. We need people in office that cares about souls and doing the right thing. So he needs you to intercede. My list is getting long already, Pastor. You just keep stacking stuff on. That's why it takes time to pray through. It's sacrificial prayer. Can this church step up and sacrificially pray until the election and believe God and tear down all the walls and obstacles and all the things that will come against him? You don't think they won't come against him? How about that we stand in the gap in such a way they have difficulty getting anything towards him? That's intercessory prayer. That's what it'll do. God sent Wally here on a Wednesday night. He hadn't been here in a while. And he shows up. He walks in the door and God says he's here on assignment. I'm like, what? Really? Wally was here to remind all of us how powerfully important intercessory prayer is. And he got to be a part of the intercessory prayer here Wednesday night. And it was, I'm just telling you, powerful. And the more of us that gather, the more powerful it will be. We're going to win these battles on our knees through intercessory prayer. You got battles you're facing? Please do not send it out to Facebook, because you don't know what they're praying. You need to get a hold of people that you know can pray. And get them on the phone. Get them on Zoom. Meet them in a coffee shop. Meet them somewhere. Get you four or five people together and pray. Because when you're sending stuff out there, there's going to be somebody out there going, you know what? Everybody's picking up your stuff. They're going to be praying against what you're believing God for. You're going to get what I call cross prayers. They're coming. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to send your prayer request to here, and we're going to give it to a bunch of people who are going to intercede for your request. You're sure down on Facebook? Yes, amen, hallelujah. We keep running to the sources other than the source. We need to gather people of faith to pray. Not broadcast it to the world, because you know what? Praying, and I would love to jump in and go, how long did you pray? Or did you even pray? Or did you just sent that little pray hand up there because that's, come on. Well, I know this person prayed this way, but do you know that all of them did? You need people to pray. And you need to gather those folks around you. Well, I'm mad at you now. I don't really care. I'm trying to help you. And I'm tired of watching people's lives being crumbled and stepped on and stomped on and walls driving them under the ground. I'm mad. Righteously mad. Okay? Righteously mad. I'm so tired of seeing stuff and people suffer. Are you tired of seeing people suffer? So tired of people suffering. Colin, you said the other day, you said some things you may not get to preach again. I may not after this one either. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. In this context, pulling down strongholds refers to demolishing walls of resistance. Are you facing walls of resistance? Are you facing walls of resistance? Then it's going to take intercessory prayer, pulling down the strongholds, not an honorable mentioning here and there of prayer. It's going to take some serious sacrificial intercession to pull the walls down so that you can see what you're believing God for to become your reality. Pen truth, through intercessory prayer, we can destroy the walls of resistance and see the deliverance become our reality. We can see our present circumstances radically and completely changed. We can watch people delivered from destruction. We can change our communities, our homes, our neighborhoods, our work environment. Every place I ever worked, I made intercessory prayer one of my primary things for my workplace. And I always watched the atmosphere change. Every time I would complain, God said, get on your knees and stop complaining. I'd get on my knees and things would start changing. On our knees is where these battles are going to be won. On our knees. This is where the battles are going to be won. Now, in the middle of all that was happening, James has been killed. Persecution is breaking out everywhere. Peter is in this dungeon, dark place. In the middle of all of this, the church is praying for Peter. And an angel is dispatched from heaven into that dark place. I believe with all of my heart this message wasn't just some message I plucked someplace. This is a message that God has been planting in me since the middle of the summer. Because God is telling me, and I hope you'll catch this, God is telling me I'm ready to dispatch some angels into darkness. Well, come on, God. And God says, come on, church. Get to interceding. The angel showed up because of what? The church was in intercession for Peter. Are we putting two and two together here? Do you have family members that you need an angel to arrive? Some of you need the angel to arrive right now in your boss's house so he'll be different tomorrow. It's that simple. Church intercedes, the church, angels are dispatched. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. I bet those soldiers didn't like Peter at all. They're down in all that darkness and filth with him. But they didn't want him disappearing like Jesus did. Bound with two chains, sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Does anybody need some change to fall off somebody's hands? It's going to take intercessory prayer. Acts chapter 12, verse 10. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to an iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. I'm telling you, I don't care how locked up it is. I don't care how strong the stronghold is. When we get into intercessory prayer, God will send an angel and the door will just open. We've got to decide, do we want doors to start opening? And we need to start connecting to the right connections to see the doors open. Verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent this angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary. Now watch what it says here. The mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. It's late. And they're still praying. Well, they don't have anything else to do, Pastor. Wrong. Some of them are going to have to get up about 4 in the morning and go fishing. There comes a moment where we have to make a decision. How bad do I want it? How bad do I want it? When they prayed, the impossible happened. God's power of deliverance showed up and set Peter free. Set Peter free. Right now my mind is just twirling with all the Peters and the Marys and all the different names of people that need to be free from the dungeon. Intercessory prayer. A guy named Pastor Corey once said this: praying with one another, believers can witness miracles and changed hearts. Praying together. We have a family here, and we need to be praying together. Even if we can't make it to a first Wednesday, if we can't make it to a Friday night prayer meeting, you need to be connecting with people and praying together with your family, the church. Because we're called for 21 days, started on October the 1st, to pray. You got busy schedules, I know that. Some of you got some radically busy schedules. But as Ralph proved, we do have the time to pick up the phone and call 2 or 3 people, and we can have prayer. Maybe it's just your family, maybe it's just your mate, and you go into intercessory prayer. Well, how long should we pray? Until God says stop? Whoops, that means I need to know His voice. Amen. You know, we go in and we set timers. What would happen if I went in with no time and just waited till God said stop? Let me tell you what would happen. It might go long, it may go really short. And in 5 minutes, God says done. But you're waiting on Him to say when it's done. Anybody with me? My final statement. A determined prayer of intercession produces results and unleashes supernatural power to God's deliverance to be on display. Intercessory prayer is a force that crosses the borders of time and invites the eternal power of God into your life and in the lives of others. Now I'm going to ask you to join me as we move deeper, move into a deeper dimension of intercessory prayer here at North Elevation Church. Then get ready for God's power of deliverance to be on display for all to see. To bring glory to our name? No, to bring glory to His name. To His name. I don't want people to say, "Oh, that awesome, wonderful church down at North Elevation Church. Look what they did." No, I want them to say, "Man, I'm going to tell you what, God is in that place. And I believe that God is going to do such things as long as we continue to preach the truth here and we don't back off and preach a watered-down gospel." Too afraid to tell the truth and turn everything into a motivational message. This motivates me. I don't know about you. This is high-end motivational message. Boy, I'm not hearing a lot of amens. This is a high-octane motivational message to be the church. Now, church, if you feel comfortable with this, I'm going to ask you to stand and join hands with the people across the aisles with you. If you're watching me online, if you're with somebody, join hands with them right now. Before Pastor Colin comes, this is what God has instructed me to do. We're for you this morning. Come on, LaDonna. Just stand. You can just stand there. Be with us in agreement. We represent the community of faith here. Now, we're going to stand with all of the community, okay? And we're standing together. And it is time that we begin to tear the walls down through intercessory prayer. Everybody in agreement with that? It's time. It's going to cost us something. But let me say this. The cost is worth it. Father, as we join hands together today, we stand in agreement, in unity. We are unified today that what you say is true. And if you can send an angel to set Peter free, you can send hundreds of angels to set all kinds of people free through this house. We can see our cities changed through this house. We can see the lost come in through this house. We can see miracle healings break out everywhere through this house. When the church begins to intercede earnestly, unceasingly, we can see miracles upon miracles and the power of deliverance on display on a regular basis instead of just here and there. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that in the rest of this 21 days. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated.